Good morning, Patriots. And here we go. It is already Friday. Cannot believe it. The month just flies by, and it's the end of the month. I think it's just like it was just the other day that it began. And that's just the way things seem to be going these days. Incredible. All right, just some morning updates before we get going. Bards Fest on the top of the list. Arena tickets are still plenty available. Get on over there and get your arena tickets. The outdoor event, as we talked about, which is not really the outdoor events, it's called the Powerplex. It's where the family venue is. Those tickets will go back up on Saturday, and they will be a donation-based process. So you can just get your ticket and then donate if you wish, if you can afford, whatever you're called to do. So that's just it's a different format, and we're going to be doing that all the way through the end with the family. It's the family event side, which is Powerplex. So drive in St. Louis. So get on over there, and well, you can't get there yet. It's going to be on our site. We're going to manage it right off of our site, and the arena has got its own. The arena is just, it's an indoor, nice space. It's, you know, it's a sit-down environment, the outdoor festival space, or the festival space. It's not even, I keep saying outdoor because it's drive-in St. Louis, but it's much more than outdoor. It's an indoor-outdoor festival environment where we're literally having kind of a carnival festival environment with, you know, concert and speakers as well. That's on St. Louis County side. 9 miles apart with each. So the arena tickets are on sale through Ticketmaster. And with the nonsense we went through yesterday with Media Matters and Eventbrite that decided the event was canceled. I was like, oh, I'm glad you let me know because it's not. So if you got hit with Eventbrite cancellation yesterday, don't worry. You'll get your new ticket on Saturday and you just download it and go from there. As far as Family Arena, the indoor space, the in arena in St. Charles County, those tickets are up. They're through Ticketmaster, and as long as we know, they will remain. Ticketmaster hasn't bent a knee yet to Lucifer, but who knows? We'll see how that goes, and we'll manage that in the next few days. So just get the word out. We want to get as many people there as possible. This is really God's event, and the whole point is to bring as many people as possible. And this should be a call to all patriots anyway. When you start having the left going after a God and faith event, trying to proclaim it to be a QAnon event, you can see how desperate they are. And they are desperate. They fear the assembly of people. They fear the assembly of worship and faith because they know at the end of the day, they're going to have to bend the knee. At the end of the day, they are going to have to bow before God. And so our responsibility now is to inform every patriot of faith, and for that matter, every patriot out here needs to be understanding that this is very real. In fact, it was interesting yesterday in talking to the team at Drive in St. Louis, they were surprised. And we weren't. We knew this was coming, but they were surprised at how vicious the left was. And it's a good eye-opener. People need to realize that this is a war. This is not business as usual. Cancel culture isn't just going after few people. They're going after every single person that deviates from their strategy. And if you are even on the left and you deviate from the progressive left strategy, you're going to get canceled. They're learning that too. This is a brutal awakening, as it should be. They've always been the same. You know, much of their origins come from the Weathermen, and the Weathermen were very clear that they would had no problem terminating 20 to 30 million people in the United States to get their way. Hear me what I just said. They had no problem terminating 20 to 30 million people in the United States to get their way. So, and it's also to be expected that an event like this is going to draw the attention and ire of every demon in the world. So, no big deal. We are fighting back. We won yesterday. That's the best part. And if you listen to last night's show, Fishers of Men, you'll see we won. It's just a matter of taking away what they think they can control you with. They always think they can control you with things like the payment gateways, or it's all about money. Oh, okay. So we'll just change the game. Drive in St. Louis. will go back up on for tickets available over the weekend, no later than Monday. I'll let you know. It'll be through our site. So one event has ticket seating, and it's a seating-based ticket system, which is I'm trying to figure a way around that, but I haven't yet. Just give me a little bit of prayer and some focus, and I'll fix this one. Don't worry, but that's coming. But the drive-in St. Louis, which is indoor and outdoor, big festivity event, is a general admission. It's very easy. So once we get this set up, you can just download your tickets and just follow your heart. If you can afford to pay, do. If you can't afford to pay, that's fine. Just come. That's the most important thing. Come and be there. Live streaming will be done, in part, will be done through Clout Hub. Brighteon TV will be live streaming it. I spoke with Mike Adams yesterday, which, by the way, I'm going to be having a weekly show now on Brighteon TV. That's going to start here soon. I'll let you know when, but I'll be doing a weekly show on Brighteon TV. And starting next week, there's going to be these shows, the daily shows, will start being retransmitted every day from 11 to 5 a.m. on a new talk radio in St. Louis and the four-state region around there. I believe that begins on Monday, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll keep you posted. So there's a lot of neat things happening, right? And then we're going to start, if I can get it running today. They had some problems yesterday on Cloud Hub. It had to do with a file type. They're set up for video live streaming, but they haven't set up yet for just audio live streaming. As soon as Cloud Hub resolves that issue, which I spoke with Jeff Brain, who's the CEO, great guy, as soon as they resolve that issue, we'll begin live streaming, parallel live streaming every day into Clout Hub as well. So we'll start putting up, as soon as they get the file type fixed, we'll also upload all of the episodes of Bards FM will be uploaded into Clout Hub. So there'll be a nice place. So we're kind of getting ourselves prepared to diversify a little bit and expand, especially in the light of this, our cancel crazy culture. They are something, I'll tell you. You know, it's a very myopic and very frenzied group of people that never seem to understand that they will be the first to go once if the deep state was to win. And here's the point of this. It's really interesting. They don't see it. I'll get back to that because that's the injection piece I'll talk about in a minute. Continuing with Bardsfest, Mike Lindell has become the biggest target of the left's hatred and ire. And we love Mike, and he's going to be speaking at Bardsfest on the 27th of August, both in the indoor and outdoor. So I'm going to let you know that, and we will be letting people know as we get this together, but you would not believe the number of food vendors and the number of bands that have canceled on us because we are having people like Mike Lindell and Sherry Tenpenny. It is stunning. And they are afraid of stepping out and being in this world. So this is literally what I'm going to say, and I'm dead serious. We're starting Studio 432 after the first of the year. I mean, I'm sorry, after Bardsfest. Studio 432 is going to be a new Patriot recording label. Brian Kahanek and myself are leading that effort, and that will be a big discussion we will have in the coming weeks. We're going to be recording in 432 frequency. And here's our approach. Here, you can't be vaxxed to be on the label. You have to have God in your heart. You don't have to sing scripture, sing worship music. That's just one of the genres, but you've got to have God in your heart. You have to love the country and love the Constitution. And if you can't meet those criteria and aren't willing to participate in events like Bardsfest, you're out. Don't want you, don't care about you, don't care what happens to your career. That's your problem. So this is a true Patriot label. And we've got a lot of really exciting and cool ideas that we're going to be putting together. And we've talked to Cloud Hub as well to support some of that with some of their new features and the meetings capacity that they're adding in. It's really pretty neat. So a lot of neat things coming. But I'm just saying it out there. If you're one of those bands that's listening and saying, well, I don't want to go to Bard's Fest because you get, that's like, good. Good luck with you, because here's the deal. We're producing and we'll be producing a label that is really Patriot friendly. It's going to have a really nice revenue share for everybody, and it's going to be speaking to our base, which now is over 14 million downloads, by the way. Thank you very much, Patriots. We are now at over 14 million downloads, which is incredible. And so that is a great, just a great accomplishment that's happened. This is all God working, and it's amazing. Remember, a year ago, on the 16th of March, 2020, this account was started. It was 3 months later that I connected it to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and iHeartRadio, and Rumble, not Rumble, I don't know what it was. Music outlets. Spotify doesn't like me, by the way. They've canceled me twice. So if you like Spotify, whatever. And Pandora, that's it. We're on Pandora as well. And so with all of that, on November 3rd, we were at 100,000 downloads. By the end of January, we were at 1 million downloads. Today, we are at over 14 million downloads, and we are moving. So that's fantastic. This is literally like the, as they say, BDADS Go, which is Bard's Digital Army Division Global Operations. We are on the go for sure. So get on over, by the way, to MyPillow.com. That's the big one. Get there. Support MyPillow a lot. We've got a Bard's code, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. And today, tomorrow, is the last day of a big sale they've been having for radio listeners only. You can just scroll down the page on the radio listeners box, and you click on that, and there's a sale specifically for radio listeners, which is at the top, which is the towel set, 6 towels with American grown cotton for $39.99 with your promo code. Your promo code is Bards, B-A-R-D-S. So the other thing for the 27th of August is you need to have your My Slippers. Well, we would recommend it because it's going to be Slipper Revolution Day. It's a celebration of Mike Lindell. Thank you for all that he is. So grab your My Slippers. And get those with your promo code BARDS. MyPillow has already contributed over $70,000 to Bard's Fest. So I want to make sure that we continue to support them as much as possible. It's an amazing company. Now keep in mind that the canceled left is, they hate MyPillow and Mike Lindell because of what he's doing, and they're fearful of what he's going to be bringing out. And it's obvious, even the DOJ is worried about it, because Mike has been bringing out the foreign interference part of the election. So we're going to take care of that by supporting Mike as much as we can. So that's it for the top. We've make sure and open up your Clout Hub account. That's another one. So I know a lot of these things. You know, the funny thing is every morning, go through these things and you're wondering, well, will people really listen? You know, because they always tell you that after about 30 seconds, people tune out and they're like, oh, I don't want to hear this. Well, Patriots, consider yourselves soldiers enlisted in a massive war. And this is like your daily briefing. And so you got to go through the daily briefings, and we've got our daily tasks we've got to do before we get to the content of the briefing. And that was your daily task list. Pretty simple. Get your tickets for Bard's Fest. Spread the word on Bard's Fest. Bardsfest.com. The family, the true festival space, which is the Powerplex. It's great. It's called Drive in St. Louis. Those tickets will once again be available over the weekend, and they will be a donation-based only, meaning no matter what your means are, you can get a ticket. And if you can't afford it or your heart doesn't call you but you want to attend, go. If you're Antifa and you want to show up, we'll find you. Don't worry. If you're BLM and you want to show up, we'll find you, because God's going to find you. And either way, you're going to come with a God or if you're going to come with anger in your heart where it's a God's event, by the time you leave, you will be praying to Jesus. I swear. So keep your prayers up for all of this. This is a big time. And the the left and this kind of evil world of Luciferian order is fearful of this event, Bard's Fest, which is wonderful. It should make us all happy. Be fearless, patriots. That's the biggest thing. Be fearless. The next thing is, again, MyPillow.com and your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Use that. Support that company. Spread it. Share it. Buy your Christmas presents, whatever else. And then, of course, Cloud Hub, which is where you need to get an account. That's free. Just open an account. Super easy. All right, last little thing, and I'm just going to extend it. If you did not get over to, if you know I did the show on Sunday night on Jennifer Renee Anderson, the artist and raku artist that's making the clay pots for Bard's Fest, the 300 handmade clay pots in celebration and in honor of the story of Gideon to match our 300 shofars. And her website is southernechoes.com. Patriots, you've done an amazing job of supporting her. Let's continue to press that out. She's a really gifted artist. And if you didn't read her thank you that she put up the other day on her blog, on her site, it's humbling. Really a beautiful spirit of Christ within her. So you might take a look at that. Punch on over there and take a look at that site too. She's just got such talent. I have been having her do commissions for me for friends and family for about a year now, and really blessed to know her as a friend and to see her artwork just explode. It has gone to all new levels this last year. So that's southernechoes.com. I'm going to begin this morning with Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus says the Lord, Let not the wise man boast of in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. We get frustrated many times when we deal with face-to-face with the evil that is around us. And the problem with much of the evil that is around us is it has no defined face. It takes its form in various faces. It takes its form in places like Media Matters, or it takes its form in terms of some politician or a Fauci or a CDC. But the real fight is us holding steadfast in the Lord and not trying to be swayed by their manipulation of events and the attempt to spur anxiety and fear within us. Our biggest challenge in life is to walk without fear. I spoke with Pastor Butch Paw yesterday, He's from West Virginia. He is a Vietnam veteran, an amazing pastor, and very clear on the lines of constitutionality and where the church sits, meaning the church is not part of the state in any form. A real black robe style pastor of the old school. And his comment was very clear. If you walk with fear and anxiety in your heart, you're walking with Satan in your heart. I think for some, they reel back and they're like, no, that's a little harsh. I don't think that's harsh at all. Depending on the version of the Bible, we are reminded in some versions up to 366 times that with these words, fear not. I don't know how much more clear God could make it. And when we put fear in our heart, we put a wedge between us and God. Because we start to obsess about that which is before us, and we forget the simple things like this, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Our paths are not defined by us, for God knows all things before we are born, before we come into this world. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. And in a world that is consumed by every aspect of our life that we touch, every aspect of our life that we touch is an inversion. This is the biggest challenge of our walk and why faith becomes such that steadfast rock in which we stand upon. Everything you touch, whether it's money, whether it's a TV station, whether it's an interaction at a store, everything that we have touched in this world at this point has now been inverted. This is why they can gain so much power and they can move so quickly, seemingly right before our very eyes. Because they have corrupted the system from top to bottom. And worse yet, people have accepted the corruption as normal. With that allows them then to shift the system, the structure which we have become dependent upon. And by shifting it or changing the rules, it institutes fear and anxiety within us. Because so much of what our life was built on was a life that was built dependent in this world. We should have never been dependent in this world. We should have been always not of this world, simply operating in this world. Big difference. When you are a special forces operator or you're some sort of covert operator or any sort of operations thing and you're deployed into a foreign land, you have to work in that space, but you always know you're not of that space. You have to integrate, you have to mesh in, you have to assimilate to a certain degree so that you blend and you're not seen. But you're working for a mission goal, whatever that mission goal is. And when you do that, you know that no matter what happens there, you're not of that world. That's how we should be seeing ourselves. We are not of this world. We are operating in this world. And as we operate in this world, there's a lot of things that we have to do to maintain our life. It's things we have to have relationships with. But we should not develop the dependency so much that if those terms of service, so to speak, change, that we become filled with anxiety and fear. Once that happens, we now step across that line and we become not of, we become other than of this world. We start to live within it and get trapped in it. And the farther down that rabbit hole we go, the more difficult it is for us to break away. Central to this theme is much of the reason I've pushed so hard on this county by county model, which begins at the home level, is this powerful component of us reclaiming the sovereignty within our homes, the independence. And so we go through those. The first on the top of that list is home churches. Again, bringing faith back into the center point of the home, but not just faith, but the worship of faith within the walls of the home. And then we have homeschooling, which is right up there. And that's in two levels. If you have children, you have, in my opinion, the obligation. I think it's more than my opinion, but if you're going to let your child be subjected to this communist indoctrination centers that our public schools have now become, if you're allowing that to happen, you need to reevaluate your life and your relationship to God, because that is, we, our job is ultimately to protect the innocent and most importantly are the gift of children. We cannot accept public schools and their indoctrination anymore, and it's off the charts right now. In my town, they've now declared that every student must wear a mask from the time they, from whatever, first grade all the way up to high school. They're going to enter a school year where they must be wearing a mask all day. That infuriates me to no end. We haven't seen that the community is going to comply yet. My guess is they probably will, because the stupidity of fear, and again, the separation from God because of fear, is that. The one thing I will assure you is that every school board member, and I don't just mean in my county, but in the end will be have their feet held to the fire for Nuremberg crimes, and they will go to jail. That will be a promise. But anyway, I digress. So the third pillar on this quest for independence is Patriot Gardens. You need to be growing some of your own food. And I've said this many times, whether it's, if you live in an apartment, you can grow sprouts on the counter, you can grow herbs, you can do a balcony garden if you have it. Every person in their station should be growing some of their own food, and that's to start reclaiming the control over our nutrition and our self-sufficiency. If you have the property and space to grow a large percentage of your food, then get busy. It takes probably 3 to 5 years to be a fairly good gardener if you're active. And even if you're growing sprouts, sprouts is a nice thing because it's a pretty fast turnover. It's about every 30 to 60 days. You can get pretty proficient at sprouts in a couple of months. But the more actions that you take to reclaim your independence and do things independently, the better you're going to be. We should be breaking our dependency upon the finished supply chain. Things like even bread. You should be able to bake bread at home. If you can, get yourself set up so you can grind your own flour with a flour hand mill. These are basic steps towards reclaiming. And I hear many times, you know, it's like, well, I don't have the time. Well, make the time. I don't know how else to say it. You have to manage your time and you have to start making the time and start making some hard decisions, because the more dependent we remain on that system, the more controls it continues to have on us. Your fourth pillar is right work, which is to reset yourself in such a way to work within the gifts and talents that God gave you. And with that, to be able to break from the yoke of corporate control. Part of that is not everybody's going to be an independent business person, nor wants to be, but there we have to start making decisions on the types of companies we work for. When you're seeing companies mandating injections, you should know right away that's not a company you're going to work for, unless you want to give your soul to the devil. So it's decisions we have to start making and working for the right people or working for our own. And that also means that there's a measure of acceptance that what we're accustomed to in benefits and cash flow, et cetera, may not be the same. And it will take some time to transition if you're in a corporate environment. But the longer you delay, it's not going to get any easier. And the demands of working for them are going to increase, because they understand very, very well that they control anybody that works underneath them that accepts their terms of service. It's just like the social media game that we're fighting now. And I'm not in any way boasting, but I screamed about this for years, is if you're on social media and you think that this is for free, there is a cost coming. And sure as heck, here we are. The cost is painful. You comply to what they want or they terminate you. YouTube's the worst at this point in time, but it's obvious. So your fifth pillar then is health and well-being, which is taking care of your health through exercise, diet, supplements, learning about health in a different way, not dependent upon the corporate medical tyranny that we currently are. So much of our problem right now is that when people have something wrong, they turn to the doctor instead of turning to two other areas, instead of turning to prayer and wisdom of nutrition and diet, which is there. And I'm not talking fad diets to lose weight or whatever. I'm talking about wholesome, the use of how we eat, what we consume. Rest is a proper, that's not one that's high on my list, if you know me. It's like, oh yeah, that rest thing. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? This is one of these cases that do as I say, not as I do. That's okay. So it's all about how we function. Tonight we're going to talk about, on a side note on that, tonight we're going to talk about Dr. Erica Naputi and I are going to introduce the new Expedition Coffee. It's not coffee as you think of coffee. This is a health product that gives you that kind of boost in a caffeine, but it has all of this whole body supplements. I've literally, as you all know, I was drinking a lot of coffee. Have for a lot of my life. I've drank, you know, easily I could do, and I'm not kidding, I could do 3 to 4 quad espressos a day without any problem. And that's on a light day. This new product is an example of when we shift to the right type of approach with something that's holistically good for your body. I literally drink about 2 cups a day at most at this point in time. I can get by with one. That's an incredible shift, because what's happened is we've taken coffee as an example of how to shift your diet and use it as a full body, holistic health product. So again, taking care of your body is critical, and that's the health and welfare piece. That's exercise, health, making sure you get fresh air, natural sunlight, All of these things stimulate your immune system, and that's part of what we're fighting right now, is people have become so dependent on the doctor handing us a pill to say, this is how you save yourself. It's not how you save yourself. God gave us everything within our body. And one of the critical tools that this cabal uses in the process of health is fear. So prayer has to be central to your health piece. So really, if you look at the county models, prayer shows up at least twice, because prayer shows up, well, it shows up in every pillar, but it predominantly home churches and in health. The foundations of those are prayer. So that's your first five. Your next one is informed action, and that's becoming knowledgeable and actionable in your communities and becoming participative in our communities. God gave us a nation. It's quite amazing. It put him as the head, and it put us accountable to him and government subordinate to us. So moral law, which is our inalienable rights, which we have now happily, seemingly as a culture, handed over to petty tyrants. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is an inalienable right that only God should be able to take away, unless we use our free will to hand it over to petty tyrants, which is exactly what we've done. And we did it as a culture because the culture became consumed in the worship of fear. Going back to what Pastor Pa put out and said yesterday, which I agree with him, therefore you were worshiping Satan. That is a reality we have to get back to. If you're going to allow fear to drive your day and your major life decisions, all you've done is shifted your focus on who you're worshiping. If you worship the joy and glory of what God gives us versus the fear and anxiety which Satan gives us, you're making a choice each day. And these sort of black and white definitions in this day and age always get some people's back up. They're like, no, that's not true. You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, if we don't get back to some more definitive lines in the way we work, we end up right back where we are, where everything is pluralized and it's nonsense. So informed action goes back to that place of becoming involved in our communities once again. And there's so many tiers of it. There are so many aspects where we can become involved. Maybe you're involved now in informed action of helping families build a homeschooling pod. So you may not have kids, or your kids may be grown. There's an opportunity to help parents that do have children to see if you can help organize homeschooling pods so they can come together and work, especially with single parents or parents that have two jobs, each of them working, to try to get their kids out of this indoctrination hell that the kids are going through. That's one example of informed action. Another informed action is literally running for office, or being, or maybe taking a position in the county, city, school board, or just becoming mobilized with your fellow parents to stand up to school boards, to stand up to the county commissions and the city councils. The left has understood very clearly where the power and center of power is in this nation, and it is always very local. That's why your schools are being railroaded right now, because they have taken over those positions of school boards to where they'll look you right in the face and they'll pass critical race theory even though you object. And then they'll have the sheriff standing by going, calm people, you must accept. No, we don't. We don't accept it. And we won't accept it. And if the sheriff's going to do that, then you need to boot him out of office. He's a voted official. Get his butt out. Get somebody else in there. Or recall him. It's that simple. Start using the power of the mechanisms that are in our system. Show them for what they are. And if they don't work, then fight to change them. But we have so much latitude in which we can do, yet we just aren't using it enough, and we're not well enough organized as a group. We are strong. We have the numbers. But we have to start coming together and start getting focused. And I hear too often people, especially on this on our side, well, where's our leadership? Patriots, at a local level, you need to organize and find your leadership. The guidance like this I'm giving is leadership, and it is the structure which you can use, but not every single county is going to be the same, and it has to be tailored to your local environment, and you have to be willing to stand up. This is a time that God's calling his children to stand, and there are within that there will be leaders in their ranks, And there has that has to happen. We have to work together. Your final pillar on this, which I've changed the name a couple of times, and I think I've finally settled on where it goes. It was originally energy, and then it went to conservation, and now I'm referring to it as stewardship, which there's a good reason I've shifted to stewardship. Stewardship is stewarding all that God gives us in our life. It's kind of a catch-all for all of the county-by-county models. In the outside, it seems less specific than some of the others, and yet it is probably one of the most important. Because stewardship takes into so many levels. It takes into everything from how we relate to the world in every single thing we do. So, for example, in our world that is defined so much by paper dollars and money, we are literally having to steward that relationship in every single thing we purchase. That means it should come through prayer. Everything. And I'm meaning like I'm going to go buy, you know, a bottle of Visine if you're going to do that, or if you're going to buy an apple at the store. That should all be a relationship in prayer so that you're disconnecting from this Babylonian game that is played with money, where money becomes a dominant issue. Stewardship is also how we manage our homes, what we're given in our lives for the things. And when we start to accumulate so many things, there's a time to pare down and to simplify our lives and to be very much in tune with how God intends us to live. Stewardship is also taking the responsibility to keep your family healthy and well, and even defend those lines of freedom that are should come to the limit of your door. Stewardship is the decisions you have to make to ensure, for example, that your family is safe, that you're not going to be exposing your family to the unnecessary risks of this world where they're trying to mandate injections or so forth. So this is stewardship. Stewardship is a big catch-all, but it's a massive one, and it's a philosophical place as much as a spiritual place of how we live. So when we take all those county pillars and we put them together, we become that empowered agent of God on the ground. And so it kind of relates back to Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches. We're not boasting, we're stewarding. And we're using all of what we have to improve our homes so that the final part of this, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So ultimately, that's our pivot back, is to return back to him and create those places within our communities. Our homes become those powerful God-centric places that literally shape and define the communities in which we live. And that is how we each should be. If you take 80 million patriots, and 80 million patriots can literally pivot their homes back to this model, the seven pillars model of built around the principles of God's love, justice, and righteousness, we end up with 80 million beacons, 80 million strongholds, 80 million sovereign spaces for God to thrive. And if we take that sort of approach to our lives and make our lives God-centric, that's 80 million soldiers on the ground. There's no army in the world that can defeat that. None. As hard as they can try. And as we approach everything that way, we will literally, and I don't mean this in any sort of light way, we would literally transform this country, this economy, this spirituality in this nation. It would transform in less than a year. It would be that powerful. That's our decision to make. And if we follow a template where each home, each patriot's home is working towards those models and working aggressively towards those models in unison, meaning husband and wife and family, extended family, children, and extended family, if we are working in unison in that place, this engine that we kick into place will redefine much of how we are in this economy. I mean, just consider food alone. Even if you're just growing a few things in a container garden or growing a few things on your counter like sprouts, as we start to reclaim control of our nutrition, we become more aware of what we're consuming. We start to buy more local. We start to share with one another. And we start to break that corporate control over our food supply. And in the doing, that's diminishing their power, not just on us, but across the entire society. And just a little footnote on that as we kind of close up. When Victory Gardens was first introduced, which was introduced under Roosevelt as part of the war effort in World War II, the agriculture secretary pushed back against Roosevelt's idea of Victory Gardens. The reason he didn't like it is they had so much impact, and it was something incredible, like 20 million tons of food or something, that they were no longer needing in the food supply system because people were growing their own food. Now think about that impact. If you had 80 million families, you don't have to completely remove yourself from a system to change a system. If you had 80 million families that started to assume 10 or 20% of their food needs, which is fairly low, but even 20 to 30% in those areas, you're completely redefining a food chain system across an entire country, if not the world. And that's where we reclaim power. When grocery stores now are unable to stock up or sell things like they used to, they have to start giving food away because people are not buying it anymore, because they're not needing it anymore. You're starting to redefine the entire relationship that we have within this world and the world that they thought they controlled you with. To kind of close with this thought is one of the great quotes in my studies in academics, which came from Dr. William Solich, which was one of my advising professors when I was doing my work at university. And his comment was this, as he sat one day and I was in his class and people were yakking away about future revolutions and changing the world and all these things, as students get very consumed with the idealisms of change. His comment was this, and then the class was consumed with master students and was all made up of master students and PhD students. And his comment was thus, "You are all stupid." And I'll never forget it. I almost broke out laughing because I was watching the faces in the room. He says, you all are stupid. He said, "It is so easy." He said, "Just don't buy." Now think about the power of those simple words, just don't buy. We live in a world so dependent on purchase, and purchase has become so normal that we can't imagine a world where we don't buy. But if you don't buy, if we went through a 90-day boycott and everybody came together, 80 million people said, in the next 90 days, we're not going to buy one thing, you would literally crush, absolutely crush this economy. It would be on its knees. You would hear all sorts of crazy stuff. They would start talking about mandating. They'd threaten you with this or that. They would do everything. I'm not kidding. They'd entice you with free things. It would look just like this injection program. You know, if you don't start buying food, we're gonna increase your taxes. I mean, just stupid stuff like this. You would hear because they understand very well that if they can't get you to buy, they have no power. Never forget that. So the entire shift here in getting us back to the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in earth, for these things I delight, declares the Lord. It centers on us repositioning our life as God-centric, not money-centric. The Babylonian model is money-centric, and as we stepped into that first and put God as a sideline, hence one of the reasons I so hate the format of the 501c3 church and the offering plate, because it doesn't put God first, it puts the Babylonian model first. When we shift our life towards God-centric, everything God-centric, it's at that point that system, that Babylonian system, now takes second chair. And as it takes second chair, we're putting everything before us. The Babylonian system will slowly erode and die. But as long as we keep the salary, the money, that what we consume, what we buy first, then the Babylonian system sits first and foremost. And God has to take a second chair. And that cannot be. And therein lies, as I always say, in my interpretation of things, therein lies one of the principal drivers of why Christ flipped tables and took out the whip. Because the Babylonian system was intersecting the relationship of people, their tithe, and to God. And it had to be broken. And so that moment that Christ does that is not just a moment for that temple. It's a statement over time of our relationship to where we place our priorities. Are you going to worship first the system and then God, or are you going to worship God and then the system? Hopefully worship not the system at all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day, the clarity and the wisdom past that allows us to walk this path, a very convoluted path of deception and lies, which has been so constructed around the worship of money and things. Lord, allow us to step away from that and see clearly to reset our lives within our homes and building up from the foundations of these sovereign spaces in which you've blessed us with. Our homes should become truly God-centric in all things. Let us take that courage and responsibility to truly trust in you in all things, not to become dependent and trapped within the mythologies of money and work and title and debt, but instead step away from all of that to be guided by your greatness, your wisdom, your blessings, our faith truly in you, and our love for all things that you bring into this world. Please guide us and protect us, and we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, I hope you have a very blessed day. We have a lot of fight ahead, and so much of this fight we have total control over. As long as we can shift our perspective from the Babylonian system back to a God-centric system, we own this terrain. Absolutely own it. That is the magic piece in all things here. When I say magic piece, the little hidden lie that they never want you to know. And they do everything to distract you. When you water everything down, and you can take the election issues, you can take this nonsense with the bioweapon they're trying to inject in you. If everybody just stopped, and I mean literally stopped, full stop, we're not going to buy anything for 30 days. We're going to pray and fast. We're going to stay together as a group. You watch and see what will happen. The beast will show its face in the most glorious way. It will be so transparent, and there will be nothing that beast can do because you'll be starving the beast. You have to starve the beast. We can't feed it. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers need to be centered and put our life centered on God first in all things. He is with us. He'll never forsake us. We have to give our commitment to him. And in the end, God will always win. So have a blessed day, Patriots. I'll see you after a bit for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. on to what we built, absolution. East of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers with the night.